Amen. Would you stay standing and grab your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3, we're just going to read our first little bit here, starting in verse 13, where we left off last week. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. And we read there, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word here this morning that we're going to be looking at in the book of Proverbs. And as we talk about wisdom, we see right off the bat here that happy is the one who finds wisdom, who gains wisdom, who holds on to and attains wisdom. Happy is that person. I pray that this room here today is full of a bunch of happy people, people that are overflowing with joy and gladness because of you, Jesus, because we have taken a hold of you, the very fullness of wisdom. So Lord, I pray that you would do a work in people's hearts and lives here this morning as we look in your word. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. And all those that are happy can have a seat. And if you need a Bible, hold your hand up. We're going to deliver a Bible to you right now. We want you to follow along with us in Proverbs 3. So while you're sitting down, just hold your hand up high. Keep it up until you have a Bible in your hand, please. So, this morning we're going to look at a few things here. As we continue on in chapter 3, we're going to be looking at the way of wisdom and the things that wisdom brings. First of all, it brings a life of value. And then we see it brings a life of wonder, chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. It also brings the life of fearlessness, verse 21 to 26. The life of good relationships in verses 27 to 30. And then the life of grace, verses 31 to 35. These are the things that we're going to be looking at as we continue our study in Proverbs chapter 3. But right off the bat here, we see some exciting, important, good things here for us. Because happy is the man who finds wisdom. I love that. And it goes on to say, the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold, more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. As we're seeing there, it's the life of value for us. There's value in that. There's value that you cannot compare it to the treasures, the material gain that you can get in this world. You can't even compare all those things to what we have in wisdom. And again, as we talk about wisdom, we're going to be talking a lot about wisdom, especially in these first numbered chapters in the book of Proverbs, because it's all about the importance of wisdom, grabbing hold of wisdom. And we're talking about this idea of the fear of the Lord, having a right standing before God, honoring the Lord, living in obedience to the Lord. This is what we're talking about as we discuss wisdom. This is the way of wisdom, is following in the Lord's ways. That's the way of wisdom. We've talked about this already, how Jesus is likened to or pictured as the fullness of wisdom. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. So if we're living a life that's abiding in Christ, living in obedience to Jesus, that is the way of wisdom, you see. And here's the great thing, that the person that does that is happy. Aren't you glad for that? Happy. Let's just sing that. Clap along and na na na, happiness. No, we're not going to sing that. But we all in the world, I think, are striving for happiness, right? That's one of the rights of man, the pursuit of happiness, right? And the people in this world are looking for happiness, but so often they're looking in the wrong places. They're trying to find happiness, contentment, joy in things that are never going to provide it. But the Bible says something so radically different than what the world is trying to achieve, that happiness is found in Jesus. It's found in a life of obedience to Christ. Now, we sometimes think that we've got to obey God just to make God happy. Right? You ever feel that sometimes? I just got to make God happy with me. So my life of obedience is just about making him happy so that he doesn't crack the whip on me, you know? And so we're living with this kind of fear, like, I don't want to step out of line. I don't want to do anything. So this life of obedience is all about me just making sure that I'm safe and that God is happy and that he just kind of leaves me alone. That's sometimes what we can think, right? But understand, God doesn't say, obey me so that I can be happy. He says, obey me so that you can experience happiness. Because happy is the one that finds wisdom, that's living according to God's ways. That person is going to truly find and experience happiness. And we know that in Christ, it's more than just, I understand something, that happiness can be very fleeting. We can be happy one minute. Somebody comes up and gives you news of something that's, you know, bad news. And all of a sudden that happiness is like, oh, you just really brought me down. But Jesus has come to give us joy and fullness of joy. Joy that is not dependent upon our circumstances, not dependent upon the things that we're experiencing, because it's joy in him and it's lasting. Jesus wants us to experience more than just happiness, but joy in him, you see. And that comes when we are living a life that's obeying him, that's following his ways. I love that. Isn't that good to know? How many people have experienced joy in Jesus that they've never experienced anywhere else? All right. Amen to that. I'm thankful for what we have in Christ. And Solomon now is instructing his children, his sons, keep pursuing that. Keep pursuing. Don't pursue happiness. Pursue wisdom. And you'll get happiness. That's what we're called to do. Pursue the things in the Word. Pursue living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And it'll be pleasing to you, you see. Her ways, look at verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Pleasantness. I don't know about you, but man, I want my ways to be pleasant. And when we live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, it will be pleasing. It'll be ways of pleasantness to us. But understand, this whole way of wisdom is something that's of great value for us. Again, we're not trying to find wisdom or live a life of wisdom just to make God happy, just to keep him off of our back. We're understanding, and Solomon is teaching it, the word is displaying for us that there's great value in it. It's going to enrich your life. It's going to bless your life because her returns, I love that, or her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain in fine gold. I mean, I'm sure we all love to invest. We want to make sure that we're putting things away, that we're investing, making sure that we're getting the best returns or proceeds from our investment. But there's an investment that you can make that will give the best proceeds and returns, and that is investing into wisdom, investing into the things of the Lord. It's going to provide proceeds and returns that are far more valuable than silver, gold, rubies, all the things you may desire in verse 15, cannot even compare with what you're going to have in wisdom. I hope we are realizing that we're grasping that here this morning. That there's going to be no better thing for you to invest in than in the things of the Lord. Her ways are pleasantness. It's going to add length of days. Look at that, length of days is in her right hand in verse 16, and in her left hand, riches and honor. And she's a tree of life to those who take hold of her in verse 18. And again, happy are all who retain her. A tree of life, that's interesting. Not only do we get a great investment, but it's like we get paradise restored now, because here we're introduced back to this tree of life that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden, you know, in this perfect paradise that they enjoyed. And it's going to be like a tree of life to us. I like that. Because just as Adam and Eve enjoyed this special relationship with God, but then threw it all away because of their disobedience, well, we get to experience this renewed, restored relationship when we search for and find wisdom. We get to enjoy and walk in this blessed union and relationship with God once again as we are living in this wisdom. The fact that wisdom is a tree of life doesn't just speak of immortality, but rather that it will bring a quality of life that is unmatched. We saw the tree of life, again, reinstated in the book of Revelation in heaven, basically. And we think, well, aren't we already immortal? Why do we need a tree of life there once again? I think, again, it's not to keep us living, but it's speaking of that quality of life that we enjoy. It's an enhancement to life. It enriches our life. And this is what we see here for us as well. And I think you can take verses 13 to 18 and just interchange that word wisdom with Jesus here again. Jesus, in verse 14, is better than the prophets of silver. His gain than fine gold. He is more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with Jesus. Man, when you grab a hold of Jesus, that's all that you need. There's nothing that'll ever compare, ever come close, ever give you a better value than what you have in Jesus Christ. So good to know. Well, we move on and look at the life of wonder here. Look at verse 19. Now, just in case, you know, it doesn't excite you to have wisdom at this point, or you're still in doubt to the real value or importance of wisdom, check this out, verse 19. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. Maybe you're thinking, this whole discussion on wisdom, it's really nice and all, but really, what's the big deal here? Really, you know, how great can this be? How is this actually going to help me out in life? Listen, understand what we read in verse 19, 20. It's by wisdom that God created the entire world, the whole universe, the very heavens were formed together by his understanding. And his knowledge has caused all the incredible intricacies of the earth just to work together for its good. Think about all the things that are taking place in this creation. All the ways that things are working together that I can't even scratch the surface to begin to describe to you what's going on. To just reveal an incredible designer and creator behind everything around us. The very fact that, you know, we got vast oceans that the water goes up into the clouds and the clouds carry that water to different regions and rain down to water the ground. I mean, just the very ecosystem that's in place that God has designed, that he has created by his wisdom, astounds me. It's amazing. And to think that this is the kind of wisdom that can be given to us, the very wisdom that caused God to create all these things, to show his power, his might. And how often do we wonder, you know, if God just has the ability to help us or provide the things that we need? Oh, can God really do that work in my life? Can God really help me in my time of need? Listen, it's a crazy thought to have, but we need to be in wonder at this vast universe that speaks of the very wisdom of God, rather than wonder if God is able to help me in my time of need. Be in wonder at how great God is that by his wisdom, he has created all these things around us that we can't even begin to explain. That scientists just now, they kind of tap into things and they think they've made this great discovery and God's sitting there going, well, yeah, that's the way I created it. I designed all that. Don't you realize that, you know? And people think they're just so, you know, wonderful in figuring these things out. It's like, this is what God has put together. And we need to be in wonder at his greatness rather than wonder if he's ever able to help us in our time of need, if he's great enough to help us. You see, this brings a great confidence to us as his children when we realize these things. And as we walk in this wisdom and follow in obedience to him, it's as though the whole world just kind of, you know, is in a sense smiling with you. You're walking in harmony with his creation then. We're going to see more on that relationship of God and this wisdom in his creation in chapter 8 of Proverbs. So we'll discuss this whole thing more in his relationship with creation and wisdom. So we'll move on here. But verse 21 says this. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. There's some precious promises here for us as we look at the life of fearlessness here. Some precious promises for us and they're tied again to the confidence and safety that we experience as we walk in God's wisdom here. We need to keep this wisdom and sound discretion or discernment close to us. Notice what it says there. they will, in verse 22, be life to your soul and grace to your neck. In a sense, like wear it like it's a precious jewel on a necklace. It's grace to your neck here. Keep it close to you. Don't let it be far from you, because as you walk in wisdom, there are some incredible blessings that follow for us. Notice what we read here in these verses. First of all, you will walk safely in your way. Secondly, your foot will not stumble. You won't be afraid at night. Your sleep will be sweet here, and no fear of the wicked. You're going to walk safely in your way in verse 23. You're not fearing what may be lurking around the corner. You're walking with just a confidence that God has you, that God has directed your steps now, right? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he shall direct your steps, your path. And so we have a confidence that God is leading me, God's directing me, God's going to take care of me. You will walk safely in your way. Secondly, your foot will not stumble, the end of verse 23. You're not going to get easily caught up in sin or folly. You're walking in obedience. You're walking in that wisdom that God has for you. So you're not going to be tripped up or stumble so easy. You're going to realize that the pitfalls that the enemy is trying to lay out for you, you're going to have wisdom to recognize, that's not good. That's not healthy for me. I've got to avoid that. You're not going to stumble as easily. You're not going to be afraid at night. Verse 24 there. You'll lie down. You will not be afraid. I like that. There's just a comfort for you. When the evening darkness rolls in, you're going to be in the light of God, and there's going to be no fear. Just walking in his peace, in his goodness. And I like this one. Your sleep will be sweet. How many amens do I have for that one? Oh, yeah. Your sleep will be sweet. I love this one. Isn't it nice to just kind of put your head down on the pillow and just be at ease? There's a French proverb that says, there is no pillow so soft as a clear conscience. And that's what wisdom does. As we walk in wisdom, we're walking the Lord's ways. We know that we can put our head down at night and know that we've walked in a way that's honored God, that's pleased the Lord. There's no things that I go, oh man, I really messed up there. I shouldn't have done that. I should have done this. We're not, our minds are racing. And we live in a world where I think more and more people, just they go to bed and their minds are racing over perhaps mistakes, failures, things that they should have done and they didn't do. And our minds are racing. Our hearts are beating. We have a hard time. More and more we have medicines coming out to help people sleep, you know, because people are struggling to find sleep that's sweet, sweet that we just lie down. Maybe you've been in that situation where you lie down and you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have, or I should have spent more time with the Lord today. And you're kind of tossing and turning. You're just restless, you know, your sleep's gone from you. I've experienced that before. Well, maybe not me, my wife. I see her wrestling around a lot at night. And just like, you just got to get right with God, honey. That's all. But no, I'm just teasing. I'm kidding. I may not be having a sleep sweet tonight now. Sorry. I'm just teasing, honey. You know that. I love you. But we've been in that situation, I'm sure. We're wrestling. We're tossing. We don't have a sweet sleep because perhaps we failed to walk in wisdom that day. And we've done things that we know, oh man, I wish I could have a do-over in that. But when you walk in wisdom and you're honoring the Lord, you're walking in obedience, you just can lay your head down and go, it's been a good day. I've served the Lord today. It's been a good day, you see. And lastly, no fear of the wicked. Verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden terror nor trouble from the wicked. When it comes, so there's no fear of the wicked. We don't have to fret or fear over what the wicked are up to or what they're plotting. We can just give it over to God because he's our confidence now. God is the one who will protect us from all harm. How good is that? Just to have confidence in God and no fear of the wicked. And then we move on to see the life of good relationships. Verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Now, in the context of what we're looking at, this is speaking of giving to your neighbor what is or when it is owed him. If you owe your neighbor something, give it to him. And there was a verse in the law that spoke to that. Leviticus 19, verse 13. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you at night until morning. So it speaks of of a worker you might have hired, a neighbor, not necessarily somebody that's living right next to you, but a neighbor that you've gone and hired out for the day. Give him his wages that day. Don't say, come back to me the next day and I'll give it to you. Give him his wages when it is due. Do not withhold from him. We can make excuses, perhaps even think, listen, I need the money right now. I'll give it to you, but right now I need it. But when we seek to honor others before ourselves and pay our debts, that's the way of wisdom. That's the way of a blessed life now that the Bible is teaching us here. And if you've got a neighbor that's perhaps annoying you, you know, and in this context, it's not that the neighbor so much is annoying you, but perhaps you're getting bothered by him having a nicer lawn than you have. He's trimmed his bushes, you know, like these nice animals. And he's making your house just look like shambles. You're like, can't stand that guy. Makes my house look like the pits. He's got all this nice landscaping. And, you know, we get bothered or something like that. Proverbs says, don't be thinking up ways to sabotage him. Don't be like trying to clip off the heads of the animal bushes that he's got or, you know, throw some weeds in his yard, that kind of thing. Don't be looking to sabotage him, right? Don't hold that kind of misery towards him. It tells us here in Proverbs, verse 29, do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. This is meaning that he's trusting you. He's dwelling by you for safety's sake. He believes that you've got his back. He's dwelling by you for safety's sake. He's depending on you to have his back and not plot behind his back, you see? This is how we should be living in a neighborly life. Remember when Jesus was answering that question, well, who's our neighbor? Who do we have to show kindness to? Jesus says, don't worry about who your neighbor is. You be a good neighbor. You be neighborly. You show kindness and compassion to those around you. That's what God has called us to do. The way of wisdom means that you live peaceably with those around you. This is no problem when those around you are being neighborly, but how do we respond when they're pushing our buttons, right? I remember a time when we had some new neighbors move into our house, and for whatever reason, they would put their garbage bins kind of right on the corner of our yard that they kind of thought was a strip of, you know, of their yard too, because it's kind of the way our line is. And so one day I came out and they had about like 10 garbage cans, no longer just tucked away on their kind of, it was like right in the middle of my yard basically. And I like caught home, I'm like, what in the world is this? And I was struggling. I'm like pacing, I'm like, they can't, I they got this all in my yard, all their garbage. And I'm like, I walked up to the door and I'm like, no, okay, Lord, I can't. And I walked away, I'm just like, I got to tell these guys, but I just couldn't do it. I had to leave it alone and just say, Lord, you take care of that, you deal with it. You see, we can have times where our buttons are getting pushed, can't we? Where people are doing things that we know is not right, we don't like it, but how do we respond to that? Now, it wouldn't be wrong for me to say, hey guys, could you maybe just, you know, you have a really big yard, maybe you could, you know, use it for your garbage. You know, I don't know why you'd put it on my yard, but I could have done it. It wouldn't have been wrong to do so. But at that point, I was probably not in the right frame of mind to do it. And so I left it alone, and it just kind of took care of itself after that. As soon as I started putting all my cans on their yard, it took care of it all. There was no problem. No, I didn't do that. But I wanted to, but I didn't. But how do we respond in those situations when people maybe are pushing our buttons? We can live very peaceably with people that are at peace with us, but we're called to live peaceably with all men. Look at what Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and 21 says. Repay no one evil for evil. Oh, that was a good one for me in that day. Have regard for good things in the sight of men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Don't worry about other people. As much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Give it over to the Lord. Because it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That says it all right there, doesn't it? Let's move on here and look at the last thing here, the life of grace, verse 31 to 35. Verse 31 here in Proverbs 3 says, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. Now, it's easy to look at those that may be getting ahead or rising to places of power by perhaps squashing people underneath them and think, I want to have power and control like that person does. But understand, that's not the way of the Lord here. The proverb says, choose none of his ways, because that person is an abomination to the Lord. He's doing things totally the wrong way and not the Lord's way. Don't envy that person. Don't try to be like that person. Don't emulate that person. You choose a higher road, the way of grace, the way of the Lord here. And notice here, for those who walk uprightly, honestly, and caring for the oppressed, rather than being the oppressor, this is the person that God brings into deeper fellowship with him now. You see, again, there's blessing. We think, if I'm going to attain what I want in life, I gotta fight, I gotta clamor, I gotta climb that ladder, and I don't care who falls in my wake, this is the way that is going to help me. But the Lord says, you know what? His secret counsel is with the upright. There's a blessing that comes to the person that chooses the way of wisdom and the way of obedience in the Lord. There's something greater that you find in that than you'll ever get trying to climb some corporate ladder, trying to have control over other people. There's something far greater that you'll get. He brings people into a deeper understanding of him. He brings people into the secret counsel, into intimacy with the Lord as you walk uprightly. That's a treasure that we can't have anywhere else. To walk in intimacy with the Lord. The very fact that God wants to spend fellowship with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And he wants us to grow in that and to have deeper understanding of him and his ways. That enriches us and blesses us. That's what God has for us. Notice as we read on, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. So the wicked just won't get ahead ultimately. The Lord is going to curse their house. Right? God's going to take care of it. God's going to see to it. All that they're striving for is eventually going to fail. It's going to come crashing down on them. But the home of the just, notice, is blessed, right? Blesses the home of the just in verse 33. Being just can be a tough thing to do, right? We live in a world that is constantly compromising in areas to the point where even Christians can easily follow along. You know, you can cheat on your taxes a bit. It's just the government. No big deal, right? We can do that. You don't have to return the money that that cashier maybe gave to you accidentally. That was their mistake, not mine. So I'm going to hold on to that money. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. You know, and we can find areas of compromise for a Christian that we feel is all right. But again, to walk justly, to walk rightly, we can wrestle with those things when the world makes them so acceptable. But again, God's called us to a higher standard, a higher way, a way of wisdom that ultimately is going to lead to blessing, that is going to enrich that life. God blesses the home that lives justly or does what is right. You always are going to come out better for doing what is right. Understand that, guys. You might struggle with something and go, oh boy, I really don't want to own up to this, or I don't want to, you know, be honest in this area because this is going to help me. But you're always going to come out ahead when you do what is right according to God's eyes. And he's going to see to it that you do. That's the confidence we can have in him. He's going to bless you. He's going to reward you for doing what is just. That's what the word of God tells us. Sometimes we excuse the compromises because it feels like those committing them never get caught, right? The wicked keep prospering. Well, then I just got to fight fire with fire here. But think of the many Psalms that contain that question, you know, about the wicked prospering. How is it so? But we have to remind ourselves that God is in control and he will take care of these things and bring justice. Surely he scorns the scornful. And those that walk rightly and humbly are going to experience the blessings of the Lord, as I'm repeating myself many times in that fact, but I want to see that you guys really understand that. That blessing comes through obedience and walking in wisdom. And he gives grace to the humble, it says. That was an important verse, as it's quoted two times in the New Testament, both by James and by Peter. James chapter, let's see if I got it here. James chapter 4, verse 6 says he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Walking in humility, again, God's going to reward that. He gives more grace to you. He strengthens you in that. He blesses you for that. Supplies more grace to handle all those things that sometimes annoy us, bother us, that we don't understand. He gives us more grace to handle them when we walk humbly. God doesn't need us, you see, walking around, fighting our cause, boasting in our abilities, or trying to make things happen in ourselves. He desires us to walk in humility and to shine brightly for him. And when we do, we're going to inherit honor. He lifts us up in due time. Okay. Chapter 4, we're going to move into quickly here. We're going to cover, we'll see what we can cover here in chapter 4. Chapter 4 is neat because, again, we move into this fatherly advice that Solomon is giving. Notice what we read in verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. It's like Solomon is gathering his kids together. He's like, guys, listen. Listen to what I have to offer you. Listen to what I have learned in life. Listen to what wisdom I have received. And again, coming from the wisest of all men in Solomon. And he says, give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Don't you love that? Solomon gathered his kids together and he says, listen, guys, I'm giving you something that is good. This is not a test. This is not some boot camp where it's like, I'm going to make things so hard for you just to test you to see if you're going to walk obediently. No, he's saying, this is good doctrine. This is something that's going to help you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to minister to your life. It is going to be a blessing for you. So hold on to this. Give attention to it. To know these things. To receive them in. It's good for you. Don't skip away from it. And notice in verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. So here's Solomon now going, hey kids, listen. There was a time when I sat where you sat. There was a time when, and when he says here that I was tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, perhaps it's when he didn't have any other siblings around or that he was looked at with just special favor. But there he is sitting, receiving this same instruction from who? King David here, his father. How cool now that we get to hear the fatherly advice that David was passing down to his children because Solomon is passing this on now to his kids. Understand that that fathers, you have a special role in your home to be passing on the truth of God, to be passing down good doctrine. Feed them to your kids, share them with your grandkids. Fathers, you have a special role. Doesn't mean that moms don't do that. No, moms, you are right there too, and you're passing on this wisdom and this truth. But I believe that God has really called the men to lead in these areas, to be a man of God that's not just, instructing these things, but you're living it out in your home before your wife, with your wife, among your kids, before your kids, that you're living these things out. And Solomon is seeking to do just that. And he's learning again from his father, David, that did the same thing. And King David said, what? Keep my commands and live. Now, there are times as a parent, you're tempted to say, listen, I brought you into this world and I can take you out, right? Anybody ever tried that on your kids before? Okay, well, we're tempted to say that and kind of threaten, like, listen, you better do this so that you can live. And we say it in a kind of a negative, like, if you don't, man, watch out, right? But Solomon's not saying that. He's saying, keep my commands. And David to Solomon saying, keep my commands and live. Again, there's going to be a quality of life to you as you walk in obedience. I'm trying to share something good and important with you that's going to bless your life. This is not a threat. This is not some kind of challenge or boot camp. This is something that is going to bless you. And understand that when God directs us and God gives us his word, he's saying, I'm not giving you these things to make life miserable for you. I want to see your life enriched and blessed. And all he's calling us to do is follow it and live it out. It's not hard. He's not looking to come and make life hard and difficult for us. He wants us to experience the fullness of life in him. And that fullness of life is experienced by a life that follows his word and walks in his wisdom. So Solomon continues on here now. Verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget. And here's again, this is what he received from his father, David. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Again, David talking to young Solomon to hold on to a life of wisdom. It's life that is doing things God's way. That's what wisdom is here. Serving the Lord. A life that's walking in surrender to the things of God and desiring to carry out the things of God in your life. So David shows Solomon this is going to require action. All right? Do you guys catch that there? Get wisdom. Don't just kind of walk around saying, I'm just waiting for wisdom to get me. No, you get wisdom. Take action. This is something that we're called to do. Attain it. Hold on to it. When you get it, apply it, live it, and keep it. Hold on to it, you see. Don't turn away from it. Again, look at the great byproduct of a life that's lived with a focus on and determination to attain wisdom. Notice what we see there starting in verse 6 there, that she will preserve you. She will keep you. She will promote you. She will bring you honor in verse 8. And in verse 9, she will bring grace. This is the great byproduct of a life that's living in wisdom, that's attaining to wisdom. Because of all these things that we see, it's very clear, isn't it, that wisdom, as Solomon recites to his kids, is the principal thing. That's what we read there in verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, living life for the Lord and in the Lord's way is what it's all about. It's what it's all about, guys. Living life for the Lord that gives honor to him, and that's living it in his ways, in obedience to his word. That's the life that's blessed. That's the life that counts. Submission to God and his word is a pleasant path, as we've seen here already. It's a pleasant path for us. Well, let's continue on here. Boy, there's just a lot of good nuggets in here, isn't there? You can just camp out on for a time here. Verse 8, she's just going to exalt her and she will promote you. You don't have to be striving to make yourself known or promote yourself. Live a life of godliness and it's going to take care of it for you. Not that we live a life of godliness so that we can excel and be promoted. That's an ulterior motive, a hidden agenda. But we live a life of godliness and God's going to bless you. This wisdom is going to promote you. You're going to find favor, as we saw last week, favor with God and favor among men, you see. Verse 10, hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. So attaining wisdom means that your path, before you get straighter, it gets easier to walk in. Because you run into less obstacles. You're not hitting those pitfalls that folly often brings. You're walking in wisdom. So that path becomes less full of obstacles or potholes. You're walking in the Lord's ways. Remember Proverbs 3? Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Solomon says, I've led you in right paths so that you don't have to experience the pitfalls of life here. So Solomon is saying, take firm hold of instruction or wisdom or understanding. It's all interchangeable here. Take firm hold of it. Keep her because why? She's life to you. She will be life for you. And when we think of Jesus Christ as being wisdom incarnate, we again recognize the importance of clinging to Jesus Christ because he is our life. Guys, keep a firm hold on Jesus. Hold fast to his word. Don't let go because this is where you're going to truly experience life. Blessed life, abundant life, joy in life. It's found when you are clinging to Jesus, abiding in Jesus. Man, you step away from him. Step away from this wisdom, and suddenly you find yourself in that realm without that protection and safety and covering that you have in the Lord, and you begin to see it's not a pleasant path. Some of you guys I know have experienced those unpleasant paths before you came to know the Lord Jesus. You know how good you have it now in Christ. You know that he has blessed your life, that it is a good way, it is a pleasant path. What you've experienced apart from him was not pleasant. We have all that we need. We have life in him. Why would we ever step away? So the instructions to stay on the right path, to follow the Lord. Alternatively, now there is the path of the wicked. One path leads to life. One path robs you of life. Look at what we read in verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. It shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So Solomon instructs his son to stay as far away from that path of the wicked as possible. Avoid it at all costs. Those on that path can't even sleep until they've gone and caused someone to fall into sin, until they've tripped somebody up. Their very food is the food of wickedness, and they're drinking up violence, it tells us in these verses. They're feasting on this. They're feeding on it. They can't sleep until they've brought someone into sin or they've entertained sin themselves. It's evil company, and it's as though they've become addicted to sin. They're just pursuing sin. But notice here in verse 18 that when we are pursuing God and living according to his ways, the path before you gets brighter and brighter until the fullness of day. It's like the sun that rises up in the morning, you know? And there's a nice glimmer, a twinkle, but as we follow in obedience, that brightness just begins to get sweeter and sweeter, brighter and brighter, more clear and clear. As not only the Lord reveals himself more to us that we grow in that wisdom, but we begin to shine brightly for him as we continue on that path. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being transformed. We're being made into his likeness, and we're growing from glory to glory. Shining brighter and brighter, it tells us here. It shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked moves into more and more darkness. But the way the Lord leads to brightness and walking into more clarity of his light and goodness. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Guys, this is a great passage here. And I especially want to draw your attention to verse 23. Because not only does Solomon give us or say to give attention to these words and incline your ear and eyes to them, but he says to keep them in the midst of your heart. And then, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. This is so paramount or tantamount to living a life of wisdom. It's a very key verse in the book of Proverbs. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does it mean to keep your heart? I've got a heart. It's hopefully there and beating. I'm keeping it. What do you mean? Keep your heart with all diligence. It means to guard your heart. Protect it. Guard your heart from the very things that are coming in. Be sure that it is pure. If we're not protecting what's going on in our heart, it eventually comes out. And it begins to corrupt or pollute the way of wisdom. If we're not working with a pure heart, if we're not protecting and guarding our heart. You see, I'm sure we all understand this, that we can all put on a very good front to people. We can all come in, Mr. Christian, to church, you know. Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord, brother. How you doing? Got my big Bible here. Everything's just great, you know. And we got this image, like everything's just all hunky-dory, you know. We're singing Kumbaya together. Praise the Lord. It's great, right? But if our heart is not pure and not right, and we have not done due diligence in protecting our heart, you see, the minute that something begins to poke us or hit us or disrupt us, suddenly all that's been stored up in there just begins to seep out and get poured out. Suddenly, Mr. Christian turns into, like, you know, Mr. Hyde or whatever it is, right? And just this total transformation. It's like, whoa. You know, what happened to that man, praise the Lord, a second ago? Now he's like cursing this person for doing what he did. And all of a sudden it's like, boom. We haven't protected our heart, you see. And it's very clear here in verse 23 that out of it springs the issues of life. If your source is impure, that's what's going to be flowing out. as much as we might try to cover it up, as much as we might try to, you know, paint a good picture of what we're trying to display, if the source is impure, it's eventually going to find its way out and corrupt the very thing that we're trying to live out here, you see. The heart speaks to that position of man that leads the thoughts, the emotions, the speech. It's kind of like the control center of man. The heart, say that control center of man. So if that is faulty, you know that that's going to corrupt the very person himself. So Solomon says very wisely, very importantly, keep your heart with all diligence. Be sure that what's going on in the heart is remaining pure. Be feeding your heart with the things of the Lord. Be in the Word of God. Be in prayer. Be seeking the Lord, walking in wisdom and truth. Let your heart be sure that it is pure so that that source is pure and that is what is flowing out of you. Look at what Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, or his mouth speaks. Mark 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. So often we're so concerned about the outside, and we don't do enough examination on the inside. Murder doesn't come from your environment. Murder doesn't come from some outward action that's pushing those buttons. Those thoughts, those evil tendencies are coming from within. They flow out of the heart. But if your heart is good, then out of the good treasure, it'll bring forth good things. Good things. Is the source pure? We need to protect our heart. Because if the source is pure, everything that flows from there will also be pure. In a sermon on the same text called The Great Reservoir, Charles Spurgeon imagined the foolishness of a water company changing pipes and taps when all the while the real problem is that the reservoir itself is poisoned. We can do all that we want in trying to fix this and fix that. But if the reservoir, the very source is poisoned, we got a deeper issue. And that's where we need to target. That's what we need to keep with diligence. Lord, feed me with your good word. Pour into me of your spirit. Lord, let the source be pure. Let my heart be kept with diligence, because out of it, oh, it springs the issues of life. And I want the things pouring out of my life to be wholesome, good, edifying, encouraging, building others up, honoring to the Lord, praiseworthy in all that comes out. That's what I desire. Keep your heart with all diligence. Let your eyes, verse 25, look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So, in closing of my introduction, consider your path here. Consider your path is what Solomon's saying. Make it smooth and clear is what the word ponder is really implying here. Make it smooth. Clear it out. Ponder it. Ponder the path of your feet. Stop looking around you to see what other options there may be, right? Don't turn to the left or turn to the right looking for an easier road, right? Saying, hey, could this way maybe enhance something? Could this way over here maybe be something more profitable for me? Don't look to the right or to the left. Keep on the straight and narrow. Matthew 7:13 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Oh, there are other paths out there, but there's one path, it's a narrow path, that leads to life. And Solomon says, ponder the path of your feet. Keep it smooth and clear. Don't let anything trip you up. Don't veer off that path. Stay on that straight and narrow, because that's the path that leads to blessing, that leads to life. And this is what God has for us here today. If we'll walk in his ways, the way of wisdom. All right? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this time we've had today to look in your word and to study these great truths that you have for us here. We thank you for the way of wisdom that you have supplied for us, that it's found and linked to Jesus Christ. And as we abide in you and follow your word, we're walking in that wisdom, this path that leads to blessing, it leads to life. And Lord, we know, as we've seen here today, that there are things that can interrupt that, distract us, get in the way of that. Lord, I pray that we would be discerning. We would have diligence to keep our heart, to make sure and examine. Search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, reveal these things to us. May we search our heart. May we keep our heart pure before you. May we keep our heart walking in your ways, that way of wisdom, Lord, so that we are flowing in that stream of goodness and holiness and wholesome that's honoring you and blessing others around us. Help us to do that, Lord. Thank you for life that we have in you. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.